everybody. Welcome. This is Linux Crazy Podcast, and this is podcast number 23. And in this podcast, I'm going to talk about installing Slackware and Gentoo. What happened was in my desktop, the hard drive died, so I had to do a reinstall. So when I reinstalled everything, while it's fresh on my mind, I thought I'd do this little podcast. The computer in question was a Dell Precision 450, and it uses a LSI-U320 SCSI controller card. And the hard drive just all of a sudden just froze up. And then when I rebooted, it wouldn't spin up. So I had backed up mostly everything, but the only thing I didn't back up was the kernel config for the Gentoo install. But everything went all right. I got it installed. It was had a few kernel panics along the way, but I got it installed. And I've always liked Slackware, and so while I was going to have to reinstall anyhow, I got two drives. And one drive I put the new Slackware 12.1, and on the other drive I put a Gentoo, the 2008, and I reinstalled that. So I'm not going to go into a lot of detail, but I'll just kind of walk through the basics, and maybe somebody can get some tricks out of it. For both installs, you need to use FDisk. It's a partitioning tool, so basically what you do is you just do FDisk list. That's a dash L, and it'll show you what hard drives are there. And then after you do that, then you just go ahead and partition the hard drive that you want to use. With the Slackware install, I downloaded the three CDs, 1, 2, and 3, and that basically gives you a full install with KDE, and it gives you just about everything you need. With the Slackware install, the first thing you're going to have to do is go ahead and partition the drive, and what I do is I go ahead and put a home partition in there. It just makes it a little bit easier when you're adding a swap in the middle. So what I'll do is I'll go ahead and, depending on the drive, I usually use about a third of it for root and then the rest of it for home and swap. So, but you can do it any way you want to. You can probably get away with about, the Slackware install is 4 gigs, so you would need probably maybe 10 gigs to be careful. So basically what I ended up with, it was a 40 gigabyte drive, so I basically ended up with 15 gigs for root and then the rest for swap and home. So what you do is you just do, this was SDA, so it's FDisk /device/ SDA, and then that gets you into FDisk, and then you just P is to see what partition tables there now. And usually when you I got these drives off eBay, they're used. The other drive was probably from 2003, so it lasted a pretty good while. This is an older machine. I think it was new in 2003, and it has dual Xeon processors. It's got 2 gigabyte of RAM, and it's a pretty nice machine. It's heavy as anything. It probably weighs about 20 pounds. It's the desktop model, but I wouldn't want to have it on top of the desktop. It's pretty big. I just stick it on the floor underneath. So back to FDisk. So FDisk, and then you do P to print to see the partition table. And then you do, if you ever need help, that's M. So you basically just go ahead and do, with the FDisk, you do N is to create a new partition, D is to delete. So you'll go ahead and D to delete whatever partitions are there, N for your new partition. And then it'll say primary or extended, so I just make primary, so it's primary. And then I put in the size I want. it's a little can be a little bit intimidating, but it's not really. You can either do it two ways. I'll just see the numbers, whatever the numbers are, and then divide it up, and then just put F disk, and then I'll put the for the new partition primary, which was I think it's P, and then you just put I'll just put if it says 4280, if I want about a third of that, I'll just put like 1500, and then new 1500, enter, and then that. And then you can always do, like I said, you do P, and you can see. And then you do go to the next one, and this is going to be for swap. So you do new, and then same thing. It's partition 2. And for swap, I'll put 10024 dot capital M, and that basically gives you about a gig and a half of swap. And then for the last one, you just do N and then primary, and then you'll go from the end of that, and the rest of the drive will be home. So there's two other things you need to do. You need to change the ID for the swap partition, and I'm pretty sure that's T, and then that'll go to, then you'll go change it from 83 to 82, and then you want to toggle the bootable flag, and I think that's A, and then you'll just put the bootable flag on the first partition. And then that's pretty much it. Then W to write it. Like I said, you just keep going P to check it, and then M if you need to see what all the codes mean. So then once you write it, then you have your partition, then you just, Slackware installs pretty easy. You just basically just, it'll be a screen, and you just go from the top to the bottom. That's pretty much it. Oh yeah, you put setup. After you do FDIS, you just put setup and enter, and then it'll install all three of the CDs. Basically gives you a full install with KDE. First thing, when you boot into it and then you log in, you'll have to create a user, a regular user, and Slackware has that script, user add, and you just add your user. Then while you're still in root, go ahead and do capital X org dash configure con fig, and then what that'll do is xorg will create a xorg config dot new for you in the root partition, and it'll explain it all to you. You're better off creating the xorg config using that way instead of using the one that comes with Slackware. It works a lot better because it's xorg is taking all the readings and it does everything for you. The Slackware xorg is just a basic xorg file that's just generic and not really developed for your hardware. And then what you do is once that works okay, then you copy that over to xorg. You copy that over to etc. x11 and then xorg.config. What you do is you'll change it, you'll move it, and from root over to there, and what you do is you just move, and then the file name, and then you do it to etc. x11 xorgconfig.new. Now you'll have to change it from xorgconfig.new to xorgconfig. So what I do is you just cd over there, cd over to etc. x11, and then you just copy xorgconfig.new to xorgconfig. So that gives you the new xorgconfig file in the right place. Then go ahead and log in as your regular user and start X, and then you'll go right into KDE. And there's a new I don't know how new it is, but there's some guys, or not guys and girls, they've got together and started building Slackware scripts for Slackware builds, and what it's called slackbuild.org. And if you go there, it's real good because what it does is it uses the native Slackware package tool. And basically what you do is you just download their script, and then you can, once you get the script, you open it up, and then you go ahead and download the source for whatever application you're going to use, and then you put that in the Slack build script. What you'll do is it'll come in a, I think it comes in a tarz file. Open up the tarz file and you'll see there'll be a readme in there, and then it'll be the package name info, and then the package name Slack build, package name desktop, package name ping, and then the Slackware DESC. Not sure what that is, but anyhow. So you just read the readme and it'll explain everything to you, and it worked real well. I used it to install the Nevada drivers, needed the Nevada drivers, and there's a whole bunch of packages on there, scripts for packages. And what's nice about it is the people that take care of the packages, they just test them out, make sure that they're all right. But it's users that's creating these scripts, and I guess they have a little a form that they fill out to create them, and it's pretty neat. Works real good. So if you go to their site and check it out, you'll they explain everything to you. They're way better than I can. So basically, you have the Slackware installed, and then next step was to install Gentoo. Now, before you go ahead and install Gentoo, go ahead and go over to boot and grub. This is Lilo. So you have to go to Lilo, etc., lilo.config, and see that file. What I do is just write it down so you can see how that they're booting Slackware. You'll see the what the kernel is and what the what the image is, and so copy everything down there because you're going to need that when you install Gentoo to put it in the grub config file. So then you just install Gentoo the normal way. I use the Gentoo Linux x86 quick install guide. I'm just going to walk you through it, and I'm not going to get real in depth, but I just run through some of the holes that you can fall into while you're installing if you mess up. One of the hardest things about the Gentoo install is doing it for your kernel. If you haven't done the kernel before, you might want to go ahead and use Genkernel. But really, if you've got pretty basic hardware, you should be able to compile the kernel for yourself. This particular one with this SCSI controller is kind of tricky for the kernel. I thought I had everything covered, and I had kernel panic a couple times, but then I finally traced it down to what I'd forgot to put in there. And basically for Gentoo, if you're going to compile your own kernel, anything that's needed for boot, it needs to be compiled directly into the kernel and not as a module. So that's your file system, your all your hard drive controllers, stuff like that. Anything that's going to be needed for booting at the initial thing, you want to compile that directly into the kernel. And when you do make menu config, that's going to be a asterisk instead of an M. So the Gentoo install, the easiest way to do it in Gentoo install is, well, the way I like to do it is I like to go ahead and SSH over to the box. So I'll install it on the network and go ahead and boot up the CD and then start SSH. Go ahead and create a root password. And then you're pretty much done there for now. And then you can go back to your comfortable spot and go ahead and SSH over to the Gentoo box. You can use ifconfig to see what address it has, and then you just SSH over to the box, and then you can use your regular desktop to do the install. And plus you can look at your manual online while you're doing it, and follow it, pretty much follow it word by word. Just get the handbook and just follow it right on through and do it through SSH, and you can do it at your leisure. You're in no rush to get it done. You can do it overnight, let it do its thing overnight, and kind of play around with it. So first thing you want to do is you go ahead and do the same thing with the FDisk. You go ahead and create your partitions. With Gentoo, I create a boot partition and also swap, and then I'll create the root partition, and then I create the rest is for home. When I say root, it's just forward slash, not forward slash root, just the forward slash partition. So the other partition would be a forward slash boot and then the forward slash home. So it's basically going to end up with four partitions. And just play around with FDesk to get the partitions the sizes you want. And it looks pretty good because you can play around with it all you want until you hit W. It's not going to write the partition table. So just make sure you got it exactly the way you want it before you do the W part. And then go ahead and write that down so you know, partition one is this, partition two is that, blah, blah, blah. And then you go ahead and the next step would be go ahead and just double check to make sure that you've got internet is connected before you go any further. Go ahead and, you know, go ahead and do a ping, www.google.com-3 count. And what that'll do is that'll do it three times. It'll ping Google three times to make sure that you've got internet. Let me just make sure if that's right. Yeah, ping www.google.com-c and then just a space and then just the number 3. And then if you don't do the -3-c and the number 3, it'll just keep going and going and going and going and going. So you want to, that's very important. So, okay, we got internet. We're booted up. We're SSH'd over. And pretty much all set for that. And then next thing you want to go ahead and do is we want to go ahead and mount the file system. So we're gonna mount whichever file systems we have. The first one you got to mount is go ahead and you're gonna mount the your main partition, which, and then the next one you're gonna go ahead and now you got to make directories for the other one. So you got to make a directory mount gen 2 boot, and then you got to make and keep going for the other ones. Mount gen 2 home if you're whatever partitions you're using. The mount gen 2, that's going to be where your root partition is, not /RROT, just /. That's where everything starts. So you've got those, you got the partitions mounted. So next thing you're going to do is go ahead and make sure that the clock is right. So you just go ahead and do date, see if the time's right, and if it is, that's fine. With the date command, it's it goes like this. If you have to change it, it goes like this. It's D8, it's date, and then it goes the month. So for now, it's May, so that's date 05, and today's the 11th, so it'd be 11. And then the time, it's in 24 hours, so at this particular time, it's 5:24, so that's 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, that's 17:24, and then 2008. So that's the date. And next thing you want to do is you want to get a stage 3 archive. And what I use links for that. I just do links to, and I just do www.gen2.org. And when links opens up, you just press enter, and you'll come up to the site, and then you just you scroll down with the down arrow key, and you just scroll on down to the mirrors, hit the mirrors, just go to a mirror that's close to you, and go to your architecture, which this is x86, and then from there you just go ahead and download the the stage 3 tarball. It'll be the latest, and you download that, and then once you get rid of, when you get finished with links, you just hit the escape key, and then you'll get a drop down menu, and then you can go down again with the down arrow key, and then you go exit. So we got the stage 3 tarball downloaded, so we're going to go ahead and CD over to Mount Gen 2, very important. So CD over there, and then we go ahead and move that stage over to Mount Gen 2. So just move, and then you can use tab to complete. It'll be, you just put an S and then a tab, and then just move it to Mount Gen 2. Now you could have CD'd over to Mount Gen 2 before you open links. Either way you want to do it, but you've got to make sure that is over at Mount Gen 2. So just make sure you're at Mount Gen 2 when you untar the stage. So we untarred the stage. Now we got the stage all untarred. Now we want to get the latest ported snapshot. So you go to CD Mount Gen 2 user, and you'll know here whether if you've untarred the stage in the right position. So go ahead, same thing with links. You go ahead and you go to a mirror, same thing, just go to Portage Snapshot latest, and then go ahead and untar it. And then next thing we're going to do is we're going to chill root over. So what we do there is you just you CD to forward slash, and then you mount the process file system, and then you copy over your resolve config, that's for your network, and then you just chill root over. Now, like I said, just follow the handbook and get this x86 quick install guide. Kind of use both of them, and both have great information. Just follow down through it. I'm not going to say each thing, you know, that you're going to have to do, otherwise we'll be here forever. So then you want to do time zone. You set up your time zone, and then check the date again, because it's going to change after you do the time zone. So you have to redo the date so you get it back to your local date, local time. And then you set your host and domain name. And then just go ahead over to CD to etc. And you're going to see different files in there that need to be edited once you're following the guide. And then that's it for that. Then it's the famous kernel configuration. Like I said, if you're a little bit leery about configuring your own kernel, you can go ahead and do genkernel now. Go ahead and just do a search for genkernel on the for Gen 2 docs, and it'll tell you how to do genkernel. Being you're SSH'd over, you got the full use of your desktop, it's easy to look this stuff up. So once you install the kernel and all that, then there's going to be some more files you're going to have to edit. You're going to have to go ahead and do your etc. fstab, and when you get done for doing that, make sure that it's correct. Double check it a couple times. Now you're going to be using, well, you couldn't use V if you know how to use it, V or Vim, or just use Nano. And Nano is pretty easy to use. You just it's kernel, the letter 0 to write it, and then enter to save it, and then curl X to exit, and it's pretty simple. And you're going to go ahead and configure your networking. If you don't put anything in there, it'll just automatically default to DHCP. But you're going to need to go ahead, you're going to need to install that. So at this time, I would go ahead and install DHCP while you're thinking about it, while I'm thinking about it. So you just emerge DHCP CD, and then go ahead and get that out of the way. Very important, set the root password. I don't know how many times people have installed Gen 2 and then they boot into it, and then one of the things they forgot was to install the root password. If there's something that you forget to do, or you get kernel panic or something messes up, you just basically just do exactly like you did from the beginning, and you chew root over to it, then you're back in there, and you can do whatever you want to, and then until you get it right. And then you reboot, and hopefully if it boots up fine, then you don't have to worry about chrooting back over there anymore. But if something fails, you have to boot up with the CD again. And I just use the minimal install CD. It's the best one. The new GUI installer, you're better off just using the mini install CDs. So then you go ahead and CD over to etc. config D, and in there there'll be some files that you need to edit. And then you're going to go ahead and set up all the files in there that you need. Like I said, just follow the guide. And now you're going to want to install a few system tools. You're going to want to install VixieCron and SystemLogNG. That's for your logger. And then, like I said, you're going to want to, hopefully you've already installed DHCPCD in case you need to use that for the internet. I would go ahead and install it anyhow, because you never know, you might need it. If you're setting up your network manually, sometimes it won't work, and go ahead and use DHCPCD anyhow just to get logged on. And then you're going to go ahead and set up Grub, and it sets up pretty easy. The examples are suffice. Just give you don't try to get fancy on the first Grub config. Just set up a basic one. Don't even worry about any kind of splashes or anything fancy. Just give yourself a basic file with no, and don't use any frame buffer. Just give you a basic file so you can make sure it boots fine. And like I said, that's all in the guide. And that's pretty much it. And then you reboot and keep your fingers crossed, and hopefully you'll boot right in. So thank you very much for listening, and we'll talk to you later. Bye.